السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and those listening who are receivers, we continue with a little bit of explanation of the first 10 verses of Suratul Mu'minun. Last week we discussed the first part very briefly about what success means. That complete success, where a person does not have any kind of pain, any kind of suffering, any kind of hardship, no difficulty, no weakness, no grief, no sorrow, then that cannot be in this world. In this world, the greatest of the awliya, the greatest of the anbiya, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the rasuls and messengers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all the pious and righteous ones, they also have undergone different kinds of tests and trials and suffering and pain and hardship. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, who after Allah the greatest, the difficulties and the hardships and the pain and suffering that he underwent, no Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also underwent. That is how difficult times he faced. 3 solid years of ostracism and boycott. For a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whom we believe to be the closest after, the greatest after Allah ta'ala, بعد اسفدا بزرگ تو یہ قصہ مختصر. The stoning in Taif, the beating up in different places, and all the other suffering that he underwent. Then take all the Anbiya, take all the Salaha. So in this world, a person, if he thinks that true success really means that there will be no grief, no pain, no sorrow, no difficulty of any kind, then it is an incorrect understanding of success. Success really means that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is happy with that person. So whether he is in pain, in suffering, in difficulties, in hardships, he is still successful. And whether the person is in good times, he is having good health, plenty of wealth, good children, then too, if Allah ta'ala is pleased with him, then he is successful. But when we say complete success, then that can only be in the akhirat and in Jannah. In Jannah there is going to be no pain, no suffering of any kind, no pride, no arrogance. A person will not be hurt by anybody and he will not hurt anybody. A person will not injure and harm anyone and nobody will injure and harm him. And no incident of any kind will take place in Jannah which will cause any kind of grief or sorrow to come upon the heart of the person. Because in this world the person obeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala under all conditions. He obeyed him in poverty, he obeyed him in sickness, he obeyed him in difficulties and hardships, and he obeyed him when Allah ta'ala blessed him with good health, plenty of wealth, good home, good children, then too he obeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When he was sitting on the throne, then too he was an obedient servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No arrogance and pride came into his heart. So that king also will enjoy the ni'mats of Jannat. So complete success will be in Jannat. However, those people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is pleased with, then in this world, as I have repeatedly mentioned, that even in those states of difficulty and hardship, Allah ta'ala gives them sukoon in their hearts. That's the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If the person is going to be obedient, then whatever condition it is, there will be that sukoon in the heart. He will truly believe that this is coming from my Allah. And if it is coming from my Creator, then definitely there's goodness in it. And he will exercise patience. And some awliya-i-kiram did not only exercise patience, but they expressed great joy and happiness. Now we are not in that caliber. We must not ask for difficulties and hardships. But they even expressed happiness in that state. We will say, how can they express happiness in that state? Because they truly believe that it was coming from the Beloved. And if anything comes from the Beloved, the person accepts it with a happy heart. So we discussed that to some extent. Then we said that what are those sifat and what are those attributes that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to develop in our lives so that we may become of this category of people who will get complete success, or they have attained complete success. So those attributes, the first one that was mentioned was khushu in salat, humility in salat, complete submissiveness in salat. And this again, I think I explained to some in some detail, that how we can get this khushu in salat. So those who were not here can get the tape of last week and listen to it. That complete khushu in salat, concentration on the meaning of salat. Imagining oneself to be standing before Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Allah Ta'ala is going to take account, hisab, kitab. Now these are the different ways that the person brings khushu in his salat. But one other point that we have to remember, which I discussed some time back, was that for a Muslim, everything is ibadat. Those people who do not find khushu in the salat, are generally those people who dash from one work to another. Of course, those days it was from halal. They were in activities which were halal. And then they came into namaz, but still they were distracted. We're talking about our parents, grandparents' times, when there was not much TVs and movies and all these kind of things. Then it was their halal occupation. They were in businesses or they were doing some other housework, and now came the time for namaz, so they went into salat. But then they complained that they were being distracted. Many thoughts start coming in that salat because they just left one occupation and went into salat. But in our times it is direct from the television to salat. Person is watching some cricket, soccer, marathon runners, and then he comes into salat. I mentioned yesterday in the Fajr, after the Fajr zikr on Sunday, it just came to mind again, that people, when they have a passion for something, then they will go out of their way to achieve it. Whatever is the passion, that's human nature. A person has got a passion for wealth, so he's going to be unconcerned whether he works from 5 to 5 or from 7 to 7 or from or day and night, or he travels the world, but he's got a passion for wealth. So wherever he can get it and however he can get it, he is going to try and get it and achieve it. The person who wants some name and fame, then he's going to go out of his way because he's passionate about it. So now he's going to go out of his way to try and achieve that name and fame. Person knows very well that he does not have a very strong heart. He may not be able to survive the length of the marathon. But the person has got a passion. He wants name, fame. He wants also to be in that book of records, or the person wants to be recognized in some other field. So he's passionate about it. So he's not going to be concerned about his health, about his family, nothing. The person will just go to try and achieve that name and fame. And many times I've mentioned that so many people, knowing fully well that it's not an easy thing to climb Mount Everest, and so many who climbed went and rested forever, never came back from there. But still people try and climb because they want to break all records. So that is when a person is passionate. Then at that time it becomes an enjoyment. If we had to tell those marathon runners early part of the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, to go and hit the road, freezing cold weather, why do you want to do that? Have a good sleep, put on your heaters in the rooms and enjoy the warmth of your blankets. Why must you go and do that? The person will say, no, there's no difficulty. I'm looking forward to it. The whole year I was waiting for this day. All my training was for this day. And now you say that this day I must go and sleep. So when a person is passionate, he will do anything to go and achieve his goal. In the same way, those who are Allah walas and those who are passionate about going to Jannat and meeting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and getting this connection with Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if they are passionate about it, then they will go to any length. They will not disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No matter how much of pain comes on that nafs, but they will take the pain, but they will say, as long as my Allah is pleased with me, what is climbing Mount Everest and what is running the marathon? These things are not going to help me in the akhirat. And this person is now passionate, so when it comes the time of tahajjud, it is also cold. Tahajjud time in winter, it is cold. But look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan, that at that time, the sun rises late. So for tahajjud, you don't have to get up 2 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning. If you look at Subuh Sadiq in winter time now, so it's not so early that the person finds it great difficulty in getting up. So it's easy also. Although it's not farz, it's not wajib, but the person was passionate, the person who was waiting to meet his Allah, then when comes the time of tahajjud, then the person says, oh Allah, how long it took for me to reach this stage. I was waiting for it since yesterday morning. The whole day had to pass. Maghrib went, Isha went, went to sleep, midnight went, and now I got the time to put my head before you in sajda. Apne malik se ut kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. So he was passionate about it, so therefore he does not find it difficult after that. The person looks forward to it like a hungry person looks forward to eating food, or the thirsty person looks forward to some drink to quench his thirst. Like that, this banda of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the enjoyment that he gets, there can be no words in the dictionary to describe that enjoyment, because it is a kayfiyat, it is an experience that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to different people in accordance with their sincerity, in accordance with the halal rizq that they have eaten, and in accordance with their passion and with their desire and with their wish and their will. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to the person according to his status. So it cannot be described in words, it's an experience. So there, by the way, I mentioned that many people say that why we are running is for good health. Didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say must keep our bodies also in good health? Didn't Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that must teach your children swimming? So now they use all these things to justify these type of runs and these type of swimming galas that they have. So I mentioned that if this is the reason that the person wants to run for the sake of good health, he wants to maintain his body in good physical shape, so there's nothing wrong. That's a good thing. It's recommended by Sharia. Very strongly recommended that the person should adopt means to keep his body fit and healthy. So then these people who are saying that that is why they are running, so then they should run in the opposite direction. while those runners are coming down this way, they should take the road to Johannesburg. Why don't they take that road to Johannesburg? Why must they run in between all those thousands of ladies semi-naked? If they want health, then run in the opposite direction. But because there's nobody waiting on the other side to give them a medal, so they're not going to run that way. If they are running from Durban to Pietermaritzburg, then you run from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. But it shows that that is not the reason. So the person who wants name and fame, then he will do anything to get it. So like that, the person who is in love with Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so then he will make that little effort in his namaz to get that khushu. So what I was mentioning earlier is that in our times, it is from the TV to the namaz. And our business houses also, we know what is the state of our businesses, and then come into namaz. From our colleges to the namaz. Now all these things, they don't allow that khushu to come in that salat. Whereas the sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, when Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. الله تعالى says رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Their tijara, their transactions, their business, it does not affect them from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from the iqama of salat and from the giving of zakat. So those people, the sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, their businesses had already become ibadat. They did not do anything in the business which was against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They conducted everything according to the Quran and the Sunnah, so their whole business was ibadat. Now when they came from the business into salat, they came from one ibadat into another ibadat. Therefore they didn't get all those kind of thoughts that we get in our salat. Because in that salah, in the business, the whole day they were conscious that I must not sell anything that Allah Ta'ala has declared haram. I must not transact in a manner that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared haram. Every moment they were careful that they must not do anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala in that business. So which means that all the time they were conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence. Every transaction they were conscious. So the person who was conscious so many times a day in his business about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence, now when he's going to come into salat, it doesn't take time for that person to maintain that same consciousness. That is what it is. From one ibadat they came to another. Now we, our businesses are not ibadat because of the type of transactions that we undertake and our whole system. Now let's get back to the Quran Sharif. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Complete submissiveness. It's not that thoughts will never come. They will come. But there are two kinds of thoughts. One is the thought that the person brings into his salat. And the other one which just comes. The one which just comes is not objectionable, that it can come. Avoid it. Put your mind back into salat. And the other one is where the person purposely keeps on bringing those thoughts or keep on following those thoughts or does all his planning and his calendar in the salat. So that is what is objectionable. Now let's move a little further. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Now this لَغْو, and they turn away from لَغْو. What is لَغْو? Anything that is bad and filthy, filthy thoughts, filthy ideas, vain talk, and the highest stage of لَغْو is kufr and shirk. So these people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes as the successful ones who will go into Jannat, they will inherit Jannat. So they turn away from all that is vain, that is useless, that is haram, that is forbidden. You take it right from the kufr shirk stage to everything else that is transgression of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then they shun that. Now in our times, if we look at this word lagh, then we will say that alright, those who are believers, then they are not going to commit kufr or shirk. But when it comes to vain talk, when it comes to useless things, things that are of no benefit at all, engagement in such actions and such deeds and such occupation, which has got absolutely no benefit, either in this world or in the akhirat, then if we have to look at our lives, there's so much of indulgence that we have in it. And until a person does not distance himself from la yani, those things which are absolutely useless, to talk cheerfully to one's wife, one's children, one's friends, to some have some joke, some laughter, now all these are permissible things if the niyat behind it is good. To put happiness into the heart of a person, we are inquiring where you come from, what do you do, what's your occupation, or ask him something about his travels and about his business and journeys and his children. Now that all is permissible because it is putting happiness into the heart of the person. But I'm talking about the futile, useless, vain talk that we engage in, and hours that go by. Or when we have to take the test matches, as they call them, 5 days, 6 days test matches. People are just glued to the television day in and day out. Hours and hours of their life, days and days of their lives are gone. Not 1 second can come back from that. Nothing. And he has wasted it. Therefore that hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I mentioned in Jummah Bayan when we were discussing this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Alamatu i'radillahi ta'ala anil abdi ishtighaluhu bima la ya'ni." The first part of that hadith sharif is that what is the sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has turned away his glance of mercy from this person? There must be some sign that Allah ta'ala has turned away his glance of mercy. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when the person engages himself in that which is absolutely useless, just by way of explanations, something that is futile, something that is vain, something that is of no benefit to him, then that is an alamat, it is a sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has turned his glance of mercy away from this person. And then the second thing in that same hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and that person's occupying himself in anything for which he has not been created will be a means of great regret on the day of Qiyamah. That for which we have not been created, and we occupy ourselves in that. So then it will be a means of great regret on the day of Qiyamah, because the person will then realize that I wasted my time. I occupied myself in such things which were absolutely useless and futile, and I wasted my time. I could have made ibadat, zikr, tilawat at that time. Now again, if a person is conducting his business, he is marrying, he is talking to his children, his wife, he's exercising, he's doing anything that is within the parameters of Sharia, and his niyat is also good, he's traveling out, even if he's going to the Kruger National Park to go and see the animals in the jungles there, and he's taking lessons from there, that look at these lions that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created, what force and what power he has given to them. One roar of the lion, as we always say, is sufficient for a person who is constipated, that he's not going to require laxative if he just knows that the lion is behind him somewhere. Allah Ta'ala has given such force to the lion. Nobody is going to dare the lion in the jungle there. If they say, keep your windows closed, then the person is not going to put his hand outside and drive through there. He'll make sure that he is sitting in a car which has got tightly closed windows. Why? Because of the might of the lion. So now he takes a lesson that the might and the power of this lion, if it is such, then what about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat and his power who created the lions? Therefore we don't go to see the lion, we go to see the khaliq of that lion. It is the khaliq, the creator of that lion, that we go and see. So now that we will say is not futile, it's permissible. Then the third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that any person who has passed the age of 40, and having passed the age of 40, or reached and attained the age of 40, if his good deeds do not overpower his bad and evil deeds, then he must prepare for the fire of hell. 40 years of life Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave, and still he does not make the good deeds dominant in his life over the evil ones. That means he's passing 40, but still he's going to the casinos and discos and cinemas, and still he's enjoying watching those porn sites, and still he's enjoying adultery and fornication, and still he's enjoying haram. Then what is this person waiting for? This person must prepare himself for the fire of Jahannam. People could change after 40, and many people have changed after 40. But here what it means is that time is running out. Now when are you going to change? Are you going to wait for youth again? After 40, do you expect to start again at 1, 2, 3? So it means you are going closer and closer to your grave now. And in our times, there's no question of 60s and 80s. Young children are leaving this world. In the afternoon, they get a headache, and at night, they're gone. And doctors are failing to understand the different kinds of sicknesses that are gripping our society. So all of us who have passed our 40s, we should be taking stock of our lives daily and check whether good deeds have now become dominant in our lives, or still our enjoyment is the same filth and dirt and the same obscenity and shamelessness and the same haram that we were enjoying all our lives. It is time that the person starts making tawbah, because he is heading now towards the Qabristan. We don't know how far away from there he is now. We don't know when the angel of death is going to tap. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِزُونَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us intelligence. So we must make use of the intelligence and do those things which are beneficial, which are not time wasters. When Allah Allah went, tapped at a door and asked, is so and so here? So the wife replied, he is not here. So the only question he asked is, where is he gone to? Now there's nothing wrong in asking that. But just because of that he asked one question, where is he gone to? He regretted this statement of his so much that for 20 years he kept on making istighfar for this useless and vain statement. The kind of statement that we make day and night 100 times. He says, but there was no need for it. That's all I had to ask, if he is here. And if he is not there, then finish now. It's not my business now to find out where he went, when he'll come, all the rest of it. Because many a times, the person does not want to reveal where the husband is gone. He must have gone to sort out some family problem. He must have gone to some other place where she does not want the person who has tapped at the door to know. The woman knows very well that my husband is gone to the casino now. So now must she say from inside, he's gone to the casino. He's gone to the disco. So now you'll make her speak lies. So at that time, leave a message that so-and-so was here. And if you want him to phone, or you will phone, whatever it is, inform and carry on. But now to find out all the details, now she did not respond in that manner. All she said was, he is not here. But because he asked, where is he gone? Now for that he's making istighfar and tawbah. Did we ever make istighfar for such a kind of statement? The lesson that they taught to us, that it was vain talk. Hazrat Mawlana Asghar Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great wali of Allah, a very great alim, and the ustad of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. One day he told to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, ki aaj hum Arabi mein guftagu karenge. So now Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh could also speak Arabic, and he too could speak Arabic. But he was surprised that this ustad of his, all these days, he used to come and visit him They used to talk and talk. And suddenly he says, from now on, every time that you come, we are going to speak in Arabic. So he said, Hazrat, I've got no problem. We will speak in Arabic, but can you tell me that what is the reason for that? That up till now we were speaking, there was no problem, and now suddenly you want to switch over to Arabic. So he said, the reason for that is when we speak Urdu, then we go on and on and on, and there are many things that we could be speaking which are futile. But when we are going to speak Arabic, because we are not so used and accustomed to speaking Arabic all the time, so therefore we are going to be conscious of how much we are speaking and what we are speaking. So there will be a curtailment and decrease in all the talk or control in that which we are speaking. And we will eliminate all that which will fall under the category of futility and vain talk. Subhanallah, what kind of ideas and thoughts they used to have. So this is something, when we are sitting in Walima's weddings here and there, unnecessary, useless gossip of things happening around the world. To talk about things that are happening, there's nothing wrong again. But nothing of deen will come in that whole discussion for hours and hours. Because first they will be eating, after that some drinking, then the desserts, and then again the tea, and then and by the time we finish up, it's a couple hours gone. Needs couple hours, and how much of good things we speak in that, or useful things. So walladhinahum anil laghwi mu'ridun. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says walladhinahum lizzakati fa'ilun. Now zakat, one is the zakat that we all know of, that if a person is sahib and nisab, he's got 3 ounces of gold, 21 ounces of silver, or its equivalent in cash, and all the other details that go with nisab, the different kinds of nisab for different things. Then he must give the zakat of that wealth if he falls in that category. And the other zakat is purification, because zakat means purification. It's purification of the soul. So because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, hum liz zakati fa'ilun. So therefore most of them have said that this refers to the purification of the soul, tazkiyah of the soul, tazkiyah of the qalb. And that is our theme mostly in our bayans here and in our majalis here. And this islahi programs that we have here, tazkiyah of the qalb. And all these ayat also which we are discussing is for the same reason. The whole Quran Sharif is for the same purpose, to develop taqwa in our hearts. So when we make tazkiyah of the qulub, of our hearts, so then we develop taqwa. So the whole Quran Sharif is for that. The whole deen is for that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that these people, that they make tazkiyah. Those who have said it is zakat, then it means that they give zakat. That they are regular, they give the zakat properly, they don't just give it haphazardly, they calculate the zakat, they don't just estimate and give some amount and say we gave enough charities this year so we paid enough zakat. Zakat is something that has to be worked out. For the receiver of revenue, how many things we undergo? We need accountant and bookkeepers and everybody just for the satisfy the receiver of revenue. And yet that is just for this world. And if we have to be negligent and don't pay our zakat properly, then look at all the harm and all the warnings that have been given. Now that is another subject altogether. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah ta'ala wills and He gives life, health and opportunity, then we will discuss further. Inshallah. But since we had one program last night and again Thursday, so therefore tonight we will conclude here. And make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the 10 things that have been discussed in this ayat that we have been talking about, he says, whosoever will learn this ayat and make amal on it, then he will go straight to Jannat. So as we are going along, then see where we are deficient, where there's a weakness, then make amends. When a person knows that there is a weakness, then what must he do? Put it right. There are so many people, they say, Allah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I know it's wrong. So if you know it's wrong, then what must you do? If a person knows it's wrong, then must give it up. wrong things? Is it something that you must perpetuate or must give it up? But the himmat and the courage that is required, we have to develop that. Allah Ta'ala has given us himmat, make use of it. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. Oh my most beautiful Allah, most beneficent, most merciful Allah, most tolerant Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, bless us with istiqamat in our deen. Strengthen the iman that we have in our hearts. Ya Allah, make us submit ourselves totally and fully to you. Ya Allah, make us obedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, bless us with complete purification of our hearts. Forgive our sins, major and minor. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, bless us with khushu in our salat. My beloved Allah, make us yours and become ours. Bless us all with good health, spiritual health and physical health. My beloved Allah, bless us with spiritual health and physical health. Oh my beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. Clean and purify our hearts of envy and jealousy. Purify our hearts of evil passions and desires. Ya Allah, our lives are going by. So many of us have already crossed the 40th year of our lives. But up till now we have not made good deeds dominant in our lives over our evil deeds. Evil deeds are still dominant in our lives. But Ya Allah, we do not wish to go to Jahannam. Ya Allah, you are forgiving, you are merciful, you are kind. We are pledging, my beloved Allah, we are not going to return to those sins anymore. Give us himmat and courage of lions against our nafs. Nafs and shaitan are our declared enemies. They want to drag us down the gutters of shame and disgrace and humiliation. My beloved Allah, give us the strength of lions against our nafs. Ey mere Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Ek din marna hai akhir maut hai. Ek din marna hai akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah, with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Amen. Oh my beloved Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe. Especially the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that is suffering in Palestine, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia and other parts of the world. Ya Allah, remove their suffering, their pain. Unite the ummah, my beloved Allah. Unite the ummah, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, we are the cause of the destruction of the ummah. We have slaughtered our own brothers and sisters. Ya Allah, we have slaughtered the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, the enemies came afterwards and completed the balance. Hamare haal par raham farma. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, parents and children, husbands and wives, and the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, ummat ko ek bana de aur nek bana de. Oh my beloved Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas he asked for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. My beloved Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good intentions. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sicknesses, the diseases that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night is going through. Ya Allah, with your fazl, with your ihsan, with your kindness, remove those difficulties, those pains, those sufferings and problems. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals and clinics or homes or amongst us, bless them with complete shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are poverty-stricken, give them wealth. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq. Ya Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. إن شاء الله تزدي ذكر الله.